Take no offense to that now. There you go, son. There you go. I just aggravate you now. Hey, don't be taking it. Hey, brother Billy Rogers back there, he's like myself. We like the kid and have a good time. I want to talk to you tonight, Romans 4. We're going to do the whole chapter, okay? It's 25 verses, and there ain't no way around it. To get in what we need to get in, we're just going to, but we're going to do an overview of chapter number 4, and we're going to look at what's wrapped up in grace. What's wrapped up? If you take notes tonight, I got a lot of note takers in here too. I thank God for that. What you hear, you'll attain a little bit of that in your memory. If you got your Bible, you'll attain more of that in your memory. But when you write it down, you'll get so much more out of it. So tonight, here's what we're going to do. What's wrapped up in grace tonight? What's wrapped up in grace? You say, well, that grace is God. It is. But what else do we get out of grace when grace is wrapped up in our life and we're wrapped up and let God wrap us up? We're only going to read tonight Romans 4, 1 through 12. And then we're going to expound on them. Then we'll go to 13 through 18, 19. Then we'll go to the end of the chapter. That's how we're going to do it tonight. And I believe wrapped up in grace. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Wrapped up in grace. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man who to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or an uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but an uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. He had that before. Whoo, glory. Let me get on with this. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you tonight that you talk to your people through the Word tonight. And Lord God, we can read this Word tonight and study it, and we can see what all's wrapped up in grace tonight. Father, there's so many things that I overlook tonight about grace. And Lord God, tonight, as Sister April saying, it is marvelous grace. Lord, we don't realize how far tonight your grace does reach, and we don't realize tonight how far it'll reach down tonight. And Lord God, until we need that grace, Lord, there's been times in my life, if I be honest tonight, I'm praying to you, I might as well be. Whew. Lord God, there's been times that I thank you so much that your grace reached down, that your grace is enough, that your grace is what will sustain me all the days of my life. Lord, I pray right now tonight as we look at the text, I pray tonight that we search the Scriptures and we see what's all wrapped up in your grace, your mercy, and your love. Guard my throat. Guard my thoughts. Father, let it be all about you, nothing about me. Lord, I pray tonight, whoever's trying to live under the law tonight, trying to do things their way tonight, that they just give it over to you and let you lead their life with your grace, your love, and your mercy. Father, I love you, and Father, I thank you. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Wrapped up in grace. As we look at the text tonight, there are going to be three different areas that we'll look at tonight. But tonight, as we look at chapter number 4, we will see the grace of God and what a believer finds that's wrapped up in grace. What's wrapped up in grace? What all grace is? You've heard it said in a very simple form is, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. But what is that expense at? What do we find in the text that we see that he's given us grace for? Tonight, as we look into the text tonight in Romans chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading, if you would with me tonight, in verse number 3, we find number 1 tonight in Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 3, we find God's pardon is wrapped up in grace. His pardon is wrapped up in grace. You know, somebody that'll be given a pardon would be somebody that was guilty, but somebody set them free. And tonight I want you to know that we was all guilty before God. And when we ask Jesus Christ to save our soul, he pardons us and sets us free. Even in the Old Testament, his pardon was by grace. His pardon was by his mercy, his love, and his grace. Look with me in verse number 3 what the Bible says. For what saith the Scripture? So tonight, if I look anywhere, I need to look to the Scripture tonight on what God says about his grace and how it pardons an individual. Tonight in Romans 4:3, God's pardon is wrapped up in grace. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham understood the grace of God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. If you'll turn with me tonight, I want to turn over to what Paul here is referencing to, is to our father Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 15, in verse number 6 tonight, we see that Abraham, he understood. You know what God told Abraham? He said he was going to be the father. He was going to be Father Abraham, and his descendants and his seed would be like the seed of the sea. It would be so many that you couldn't number them, and there's no way you can number them. And he knew that he was old, and Sarah was in, she was barren. And he said, how is this going to happen? But you know what? Not one time did he doubt the goodness of God. Not one time did he doubt the grace of God. You know what Abraham did in Genesis chapter number 15 and verse number 6? He says, and he believed in the Lord. Tonight, if you want to see God's grace come alive in your life, just believe in what the Lord tells you tonight. If it's written in his book tonight, hey, you can take it to the bank. Can I get an amen? He says tonight that Abraham, he understood the grace of God. Look what he says. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You know what he did? He believed in the Lord, and the Lord said, because you believe in me, I'm going to count that righteousness to you. Tonight, if you're a believer in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he has clothed you in his righteousness. He has clothed you in his grace tonight. We must understand tonight that Abraham understood grace. Paul was here and he was talking to these at Rome, and he said, I know you know Father Abraham, and I know you know he done a lot of good works and he done a lot of good things, but his righteousness didn't come from the works that he done. His righteousness didn't come from the things he accomplished. His righteousness come because he believed in God. Can I say to you tonight, when you believe in God, then he'll start a good work inside of you. When you believe in God, then you get to the chance to do a good work for God. Works don't save you, but work shows where you're going. Can I get an amen? He says tonight, as we look in the text, there's two patriarchs that he uses tonight to show God's pardon in their life. Number one, we see Abraham in verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. He said, if you're going to work your way to heaven, you're always going to be in debt. If you're going to work your way to heaven, you're always going to be in debt. And he said, you don't get caught up in the way that you're going to be pardoned is by the more you do or by the more you work, but it's going to be by the grace of God. It'll always be by God's grace that we're pardoned and that we've been set free. But the second patriarch that he shows us, number one being Abraham, but number two being David. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 6, even as David also. He said not only Abraham was counted righteousness and it was imputed into him because he believed in God, but he said, I want you to know, David understood grace too. He understood that grace that God had given him. I'm going to give you this. He said, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Hey, when we get here and we understand, we all understand David and how he understood grace. You remember what David did? David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And when he committed that adultery, I want you to know, he didn't stop there. Hey, buddy, went a little further. You know what he did? He understood that she was pregnant. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call her husband off the front line. I'll let him and her lay together, and then I'll send him back out, and they won't know it's my child. You know what Uriah did? He come in and he said, there's no way that I'll lay with my wife when my men's out in war. So he laid at the front door. You know what that did to King David? That made him furious. That made him mad that he wouldn't come in and do what he wanted him to do. So you know what he did? He sent out a warning. He said, you put him on the front line. You put him out there where he'll get killed. Not only did he commit adultery, but King David committed murder. And you know what he did on over in the book? He got over there and the prophet Nathan come to him, and he told him a story about a little ewe lamb, and that's the only thing the man had, and somebody come and took that ewe lamb unto himself. And he said, King David, what do you think should happen to him? He said, it would have cost that man his life. And he said, you're the man. You're the man that took the little ewe lamb. You could have had anything you wanted, but instead of taking that, you took another man's wife. And he said, that would have cost you your life. Friends, but I want you to know the grace of God shined down on King David. And if you'll turn with me to Psalm 51, I'll show you that even though you get tied up in sin, there is still forgiveness. There's forgiveness when you get in sin. If they wouldn't, we'd all be doomed. Amen. Oh, man. Psalm 51. Let's look here tonight together. Not only did Abraham understand grace, but King David understood grace. Psalm 51 tonight, if you'll turn with me there. After he had committed that sin with Bathsheba, he knew he was in a dangerous place, but he understood the grace of God, and he wanted God's grace in his law. I want to ask you tonight, if you get caught up in sin, do you want grace, mercy, and love, or do you want the wrath to be poured out on you? Grace. Only somebody in their mind that's not right would want wrath poured out on them. We want grace, we want mercy poured out on our life. Look what he said. Not only Abraham understood, but David understood grace. Here David come in Psalm 51, and he said, have mercy upon me, O God. Hey, tonight I want you to know God's grace is enough. Can I get amen? Hey, you say, preacher, I've got this guilt of condemnation. I've done some things in my life that's not pleasing to God. If you're a believer tonight, get where David is. Amen? Hey, is that a preacher tonight? I got to get where David is. You got to get where David is. Hey, it don't matter how big the sin. It doesn't matter how little the sin. I told you this morning, I believe it. Hey, sin does not affect our relationship, but it does affect the fellowship that we have with God. Have mercy upon me, O God. That's what he said. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions or my misbehavior. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David said, Lord God, I'm coming to you with mercy. I'm coming to you wanting your grace, and I'm wanting you to pardon me from the sin that is in my life. Look what he said in verse number 4. And if you ever get a hold of this, when you sin, if you'll understand that sin is against God, it'll change everything that you think. Man, I'm telling you. A lot of times we'll worry about hurting a brother or sister in Christ. If I offend somebody, I'm telling you what, and I'd put my foot in my mouth a lot of times. But if I'm going home and I tell Brandy, I say, I may have been said that the wrong way or been a little hard. Man, I don't want to offend nobody in this room on something that would be my own ignorance, if I could say that. But if I understood tonight that I offended God as much as I offend people, man, I changed my walk with God. Amen? Folks, tonight, if there's one person that we must not offend, and that's God and God Almighty. Look what he says tonight, against thee. David knew, he said, I got to have grace. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, I know for a fact that I need your grace. You're the one that's going to do the justifying, and you're going to want to be the one to do the judging. So I ask you tonight to pardon me from this sin that is in my life. Tonight I see in the text, not only do we see Abraham understood God's pardon by grace, David understood God's pardon by grace, but tonight we must too understand that we are pardoned by grace. Nothing else, nothing more but by grace. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Man, I don't know about you, but that excites me tonight. To know tonight that I'm pardoned by the grace of God. No matter what Abraham did then in his life, he believed in God and God blessed him. David, he messed up, he slipped up, he done a lot of things, but God blessed him and he forgave him. Hey, I want you to know tonight, oh, Satan's telling you when you mess up to give in and get out. I want to say this, when you mess up, get out on your knees, amen? And just ask God, say, "Lord God, I know that I've sinned and I want you to pardon me from this in my life." Let me show you the second thing tonight. We see in Romans 4, 1 through 12, God's pardon is wrapped up in grace. We see it in Abraham, and we see it in David. And then in verse number 12, we see that we walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. He had that faith before he ever had that token in his life. Tonight, if there's anything that we need as a Christian, we need to have faithfulness in God. We need to be faithful in God, what God's called us to do. He's pardoned you. I don't know what would keep. He's pardoned me. I don't know what would keep me from being unfaithful. I don't know what would keep me from being faithful. Why do I be so unfaithful sometimes in my life? For the man who pardoned me, I shouldn't be unfaithful. I should be faithful in what he's called me to do. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I want to give you the second thing tonight. Not only do we see in the first part of Romans 4, and he's talking about what's wrapped up in grace. God's pardon is wrapped up in grace. But in Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 13 through 21, we see that God's promise is wrapped up in grace. If you want his promise, you'll only get it through grace. You only get pardon through grace, and you only get a promise through grace. That's the only way you're going to get it. You ain't going to get it no other way. He says tonight, look with me, all the way through this, he's using righteousness. Let's read verse 13, for the promise. There it is. Not only do we see the pardon, but here's the promise. Tonight, if you've been saved, I want you to think about this. If you've been saved, you've been given a promise. He can't break it. He can't lie about it. He can't break it. You've been given a promise tonight. He's going right back right here in verse 13 with old Abraham, and he's fixing to lay it back out with Abraham again. He said not only did he pardon him, but he gave him a promise. Tonight, the promise God's given you and he's given me, we need to stand on it tonight. We need to stand on that promise tonight that he will never leave us, never forsake us. A lot of times when things get hard in our life, we think, where's God now? That's closer than he's ever been. He's wrapped right up where he needs to be. He's wrapped up in that grace and that mercy that we have in our life. We see God's pardon, but we see his promise. Look in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. He said, hey, it wasn't through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Of faith. You know why it's so hard to live by faith? Because you can't see what you're living for. You just got to live by it. You got to live by it. It's easy to try to live by the law, even though we can't keep it, but we see the command, we see what we have to do. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants us to step when we don't know if there's going to be an area to step to. He wants us to move when we say, preacher, I can't even see where I'm supposed to be stepping to. He wants us to step. That's what faith does. Preacher, I don't know how this is going to work. That's when faith steps in and we step out. And look what Abraham, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law might be heirs, faith is made void. And the promise made of none effect, and won't go no other way but by faith. Because the law worketh wrath, but where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise, there it is again, might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That is very important. That is very important. What we can't do, God can do. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he was what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. God's promise is wrapped up in grace. In verse 13, we see that promise is through the righteousness of God. That's why it can't be broken, because it's through his righteousness. The promise is real in verse 16. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. Tonight, that promise in our life is real because it's by grace tonight. It's by his loving grace tonight that he's made us that promise. Have you ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? How did it make you feel when you couldn't keep that promise? Man, I don't like it. When I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I like to do it if I can to the best of my ability. And even when you call that person and you say, hey man, I'm not going to be able to do it, and you can't fulfill your end of the deal, and you just can't make that promise, they say, oh, don't worry about it, it's okay, and you hang up. How do you still feel? You still don't feel about it. Folks, do you know tonight God's grace every time? He never has to say, well, I can't keep up my end of the deal. He never has to do that. He always keeps up his end of the deal because his promise is real to us. He promises us in our life, and it is real tonight. Look what he said here. The promise is through the righteousness of God. In verse 13, that promise is wrapped up in grace. That promise is real in verse number 16. Therefore, it is a faith that it may be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, to everyone, that it be real. But that promise is also revealed in Abraham. He said, what do you mean, preacher? You can learn a lot from what our father Abraham did, where he didn't stagger. Look what he said here. Let's go down to verse, if you will, with me. In verse number, let's go to verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger at it. He took God at his word. He didn't stagger at it. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What God's done in your life, he's able to perform it to the end. I promise you tonight on the authority of God's word tonight, we're talking about what's wrapped up in grace. And here in chapter number 4, he's talking about being justified, justification, and what God's doing in our lives. What he's doing in our lives. Justification is a one-time ordeal. It's a one-time process. Justification's an act. At that moment when you get saved, you're justified. Right then, you're justified as though I've never sinned. Now listen to this. That's justification right then. Justification is right then as though I've never sinned. The blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. Then there's a process that goes on called sanctification. That's when you start being set apart and you start walking that walk in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You start walking that walk in what God's called you to do, and you start being sanctified, being set apart. Your walk changes, your talk changes, things change in your life. We got three processes here. We got one, that justification. You got that sanctification. And I want you to know tonight, there's one more process that you will not never reach in your life. This preacher will never reach in our life. No individual will ever reach it in this life until they die and meet Jesus face to face. And that is the process of glorification. And when you become completely glorified is when you die and you enter heaven and you get that glorified body, that glorified what God gives you, that glorified spirit. You're united to God, the creator and the maker of this universe. And he said, until then, we're going to live by grace. You won't live by faith when you get to heaven. Why? You won't need it. You're going to see him. You're going to eat with him. You're going to dine with him. Think about that. When you got saved at that moment, justification, then you have sanctification, and then you have your glorification process when you die. You get that glorified body. You become anew. You become new. Let me give you this out here at the end, though. We see that what's wrapped up in God's grace, number one, we see that it's his pardon is wrapped up in that grace. You'll never be able to pardon yourself. You can't do enough work. You can't do enough good. You can't give enough to the church to pardon your own self. You can't do it. You'll never get no satisfaction out of it. Till you rest in God's grace and say, God, it's you. It's not me, it is you. Man, you'll be set free. I told you, if you were to stick with Romans, you're going to be all right at the end. He said, I'm just free. Lord, I'm free. But he said there's also wrapped up in that grace is a promise. He promised you and he's promised me. He's promised us. It don't matter how old you get, don't matter what you do, he still can use you. He proved that with Abraham. He's proved that with me and Brandy. Boy, that's a kick line right there. Y'all should have been hooping and hollering on that. Sister Melissa, that was your time right there. You and Brother Dylan, y'all could have shouted me down back there. But I seen something else wrapped up in his grace. Don't miss this. Not only is it his pardon, not only is it, man, we look and we say, Lord God, this pardon that you've given us, you have set us so much free. And you've promised us that. But also wrapped up in his grace is a possibility. There's a possibility. And I want to show you this. I don't care who you run into this week, and I always use that. When I can back it up in the Word, I said, I don't care. It's in the Word. You say, they're too far gone, preacher. No. There's a time I was too far gone, somebody thought. But God said, hey, there's a possibility for him too. There's a possibility. This church, you know what we need to start looking for God's possibilities. If you're saved here, you're done pardoned. And you're done received a promise. Why wouldn't you want to pass that on to somebody else that they might be a possibility? I thought about Brother Garrett saying, I am a possibility. He said it wasn't written for only him, but it was written for us too. Let's look at the book. Look what he says here. He said it's a possibility. Look with me in verse 23. He says not only is his pardon, his promise, but the possibility is wrapped up in grace. Now it was not written for his, verse 23, sake alone. There's that possibility. Hey, it wasn't written for his sake alone. What he did for Abraham wasn't for him alone. It's for you and me. Thank you. Hey, what he did for David, it wasn't alone. He said that was then. He won't do that now. He'll do the same for you now. It's not for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. He's a possibility right there. He said, what he written down ain't for him only, but it's for us too. It's a possibility because it's written for us. That possibility is written for us that we would believe, that we'd be pardoned, that we'd have that promise we can share with the world. The possibility is written for us. The possibility is available for us. But for us also, in verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed. You know what Agent Rogers said imputed is? You ever went and swiped your debit card, credit card, and it says debit or credit? You know what I'm saying? You got to pick one of them. He said, just tell the cashier imputed. I said, what? It'd blow her mind, but same thing. You're just charging it. You're just charging it. You're saying the funds is there, the account's there. The money's there. She don't know. You having to pick one. When I sin, I don't want it imputed on my part. I can't handle it anyway. That's why he went to the cross. When Satan brings up my past in my face and he brings up the sin that I did commit at one time, you know what I tell him? Yeah, it's imputed. Put it on Jesus. It's done there. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. It's done been took care of. He said, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, it shall be given. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who shall deliver, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The possibility is because it's written for us, it's available for us, and because it is in Christ Jesus. He has delivered us and he has raised us. Justification is the peace with God. Tonight's my question is, have you seen what's been wrapped up in your life this whole time that you need to uncover? You need to unwrap and get a hold of it. God's pardon, his promise, and his possibility is all wrapped up in his grace. My prayer is that God's will is that he'll keep this place wrapped up in his grace. You say, what's grace, preacher? I want to explain it to you like this. revenge, justice, and grace. Whichever one. Here's what we do, the three things we can have. Revenge, justice, and grace. Adrian Rogers gave it this way. If someone brutally murdered your son, and you took matters in your own hands, that is revenge. If you are content with allowing the court system to handle that man, that's justice. But if you pardon the murderer, adopt him, and take him home to live with you as your son, that's grace. You said, there's no way I could do that, preacher. That's what God done to us. That's his grace. You said, what? Yeah. We murdered him. We hung him on the cross. And then by the same one that we put to death, we can believe on him. He'll pardon us, set us free, show us grace, and one day we're going to live forever with him. Folks, tonight I want to ask you this. You be your own judge on what you want. Do you want revenge? Do you want justice? Or do you want grace? Whatever you give out is what will be given back. I don't know about you, but I want to show a whole lot more grace in the world that I live in and show them the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In my mind, the first thing I thought of would be revenge. But who am I that begs for grace that I wouldn't give it? Tonight, we're going to dismiss. We're just going to hold off on altar call tonight. We're just going to dismiss.